things that you should not do in relationships. You want to have peace in relationships, we go back to the beginning now. Six things that wise people do not do. They never do. So that's exactly what we're going to talk about. We're going to go through the last three. In James chapter 3, starting in verse 13 all the way through 18, we're going to read it one more time. It says, who among you is wise and understanding? Still haven't found anyone. Okay. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. Wow. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder or chaos and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first what? Pure, then peaceable, then gentle. We talked about those three, and those were the first three that we talked about. Now we're going to talk about the next ones, which are reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen? Let's go immediately and jump to the number four key to wisdom. These are the things that mark a person that is wise in relationships and has peace, okay? Wisdom is willing to yield or being reasonable. The word there is reasonable. We can say somebody who yields, right, to others. That's a mark of wisdom. And basically what we're talking about is don't criticize other people's suggestions. When people come up with suggestions, don't just go, that's dumb. You can say whatever you want, and you can have a different suggestion, a different opinion. You can have an opinion about their suggestion, but you just have to be careful. You have to be open to reason. Why? Because reason allows discussion. You have to be willing to discuss with suggestions, even if they sound so darn dumb to you, right? So if you look at the word reasonable, that word right there, we can use the word reasonable in so many ways in the Bible, but yet that particular word right there in the Greek is the word eupithes. And that word means not stubborn. Okay, so it's like a negative, or you're not stubborn, you know? And a stubborn person, what do? They do not allow for discussion. They argue, right? A stubborn person will not discuss. They will argue. And they will not allow for suggestions. You know, you're stubborn. And you can be stubborn as a mule, some people say. And that's the word that is saying reasonable here. So what we're saying is the word reasonable means do not be stubborn. Do not be stuck on, I've heard this and I'm going to say, don't be stuck on stupid. Thank you, Ed. I love that. I love that expression. I love it. Don't be stuck on something, you know, just allow for reasonable doubt, allow for reasonable discussion, all right? But how do you know that you're reasonable? By the way you listen. The wiser you are, the better listener you will be. The more you gain wisdom, the better you're going to be at listening to people. You'll be willing to yield to others. You won't be stubborn. You will allow a discussion. You won't be like, well, I don't care what you say, but that's it. Boom, that's it. You won't be shutting people down. You won't be shutting people up. You won't be just ignoring or whatever. You know, you won't be doing that. That's foolish. And the more foolish or the foolisher you are, the less you listen, right? The less you listen, the more foolish you look. You look very foolish when you don't listen, don't you? Yeah, me too. I know. So I've got to admit that sometimes I am a little unwise in relationship. For example, don't point at people. Don't be looking at people. But what I'm going to say, I know it's going to hit a nerve on somebody here. But what about those people who finish your sentences when you're talking to them? They will never let you finish something. They're like, yeah, this, yeah. And you tell them, well, you know, and if we do, yeah, I know, if we, yeah. You're like, are you going to let me talk? Sure, go ahead. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Or they'll just, I mean, they finish every sentence that you start. You know, in marriage, we play around and we say, we know each other so well that we finish each other's sentences, right? But who likes for somebody else to do that? No, no. Ed doesn't like it, Laura, okay? He's like all over. No, 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 no. Okay, so just letting you know in case you didn't notice. Did you notice? Yeah, I know you noticed. You see, I cut her off immediately. Right? I just thought for her, whatever. We don't do that. We shouldn't do that. Even though it may seem so, we finish each other's sentences. Wow. But usually when people finish your sentences and you're talking to them, all they're trying to do is hustle you through the conversation and just hurry you up, right? Like, yeah, 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 let's get to the next topic. Yeah, 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 let's get this thing over with. Yeah, 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 right? So you don't like people doing that. That's very unwise to do because you're jumping to conclusions. And when you jump to conclusions, you become a fool. You're just foolish when you do that. So instead of that, let's try to be reasonable. Let's try to be not stubborn, right? Let's unstubbornize ourselves and be reasonable and listen to the people and things like that. You want people to listen to you, so you got to be willing to listen, you know? If I ask you, how many of you are reasonable? You know, some people say, well, I'm reasonable. Okay. Well, let me tell you, you wouldn't know if you're reasonable, right? Because if you were unreasonable, you wouldn't even know it either. If you were unreasonable, you wouldn't know it. It's amazing. So listening to others. If you can listen to somebody and disagree with them, but listen to them, wow, you have a great skill. You are a skilled listener. Your skills as a listener grow, and it's evident when you can disagree and still listen to somebody. Isn't that amazing? Listening to somebody you disagree with. Until the end. Isn't that rough? I want to get my 2 cents in. I want to get it done. I want to get it over with. But when you do that, when you can talk to people whom you disagree with and you can listen to them, you know, it's great. You know, some people don't realize it, but they have this attitude. Don't confuse me with the facts. I already have my own opinion. Right? We make ourselves opinions and we have this kind of attitude. So we're not wise in our relationships. It becomes pretty bad. You have to be careful not to be, you know, oversensitive when people say things. So that when you're oversensitive, you're going to be constantly interrupting people. You're going to be constantly just criticizing people's suggestions, and that's not reasonable. You have to be willing to admit and to listen to other people when they say stuff to you. Like, you know, when your pastor came to a church and he got up there on the pulpit, and when he preached, he said, I'm open to suggestions. I'm open to people. I'm open to for you to tell me whatever you need to tell me. So at the end of the service, if you want to approach me with anything, any suggestions, anything, you know, I'm okay with it. I don't have a problem. So one guy comes up. And says, Pastor, you said you're a reasonable person. You're willing to listen. So let me tell you something. I say, sure. It's about your sermon. Sure. No problem. He says, what do you think? He says, your sermon stunk. It's like, okay. Tell me a little bit more. Why do you think it's... Well, first of all, let me tell you. You were reading the whole thing. Number two, you read it totally wrong. And number three, it was all wrong. Anyway, you know, so I'm just letting you know. So he's like, okay, that's all right. I'll take it. Well, another guy was listening. You know, he's like, he's the new pastor. Come on, don't do that to him. So he comes over and says, Pastor, don't worry about that guy. You'll know very quickly that he's got a suggestion for everything, and he tells everybody everything that he hears around, so don't worry about him. Did you get it? He tells everyone whatever he hears. Maybe everybody had some suggestions. Maybe more people will have suggestions. Maybe some people, when they give you a suggestion, because they've heard it somewhere else. But don't be oversensitive. Just be careful, okay? So be very careful. You become a good listener. Number two, you can learn from anybody. You have to be willing to learn from others. You have to be willing. If you're criticizing people all the time, you will never learn from them. You can learn from the most foolish person. At least you can learn not to be a fool, right? When they do foolish things. So you can learn from other people. If they, you know, don't criticize people's suggestions, like I said. God does in my life so much work in this area because I am quick to judge, and I know that. And that has to do with this, you know, not listening enough and then, boom, coming to conclusions too quick. And there's going to be people in your life. Those are the people that irritate you. Those are the people that drive you crazy. You know the kind of people I'm talking about. Don't look at them right now, please. Sometimes they're going to have a good suggestion once in a while, you know. You may not believe it, but they might have a good suggestion once in a while. They, you know, even the clock, when it's stopped and it's not working, is right twice a day, right? Have you thought about that? You've heard that before. That's an old trick, right? So it is important, especially in your family or at work, at school, wherever, in your relationships. You see, the people who drive you crazy the most, they might have a good suggestion for your life at one point or another. So what can we learn from anybody? What can we learn from people? Look at Proverbs 18, verse 15. Proverbs 18, 15 says, "The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." Now, let me give it to you in a little bit different words in another version so that way we make it even more clear. In other words, intelligent people are always open to new ideas. In fact, they look for them. Does that sound more like, you know? Well, if somebody has a really dumb idea, then, of course, you may deem that person dumb. But, you know, sometimes they might just have a good idea, so you just need to be careful. When people have dumb ideas, you just listen to them until they finish. And when they finish, then you might just ignore it or simply say, okay, thank you for the suggestion. A suggestion is just that, a suggestion. You're not obligated to do what you've been suggested. Now, if a person giving you the suggestion sees that you don't go about that suggestion and they get angry, guess who has a problem? They might have a bigger problem than you. Now, it might have been a good suggestion and you failed to follow and heed the counsel of that person. Then the person may be upset, but all they have to do is pray for you to gain wisdom. You can't knock wisdom into people. You gotta pray for them to get it from above, because that's the way you get it. The Bible says that true wisdom comes from above, James chapter 3, right there. So don't try to knock wisdom into people, because you won't be able to do it. Just be careful, all right? And when people give you all these crazy ideas, just don't interrupt them. Let them say what they have to say. They say in a normal conversation, studies that have been done for years, that there's an exchange with, when two people are conversating, and the exchange takes about 12 seconds. That means that one person talks for 12 seconds, and the other one about 12 seconds average. If you're talking to me, that doesn't work. I'll talk about a minute and a half, and then you get 3 seconds, right? I'm a talker. Some of you guys are not like that. I got a few talkers around here. But we need to practice more listening. Amen? We need to be practicing more listening. Now, the good thing and the best you can do, and I've tried to practice this, especially when you're discussing a problem with somebody, or like when somebody comes to my office with a problem in church, or they want to go at it with me or something like that. This is a practice that I've tried. I say I've tried because I don't do it always. But when there's a big problem like that, I try to remember to tell the person from the beginning, do you mind if I take notes as you go? Because that way I can respond to all of your doubts and questions, suggestions, and I can be ready to give you an answer. Instead of just trying to stop you every time you say, well, let me tell you something. I didn't like what you did yesterday because yesterday, da 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 da. And let me tell you, I know you do that because you're like, oh, hold on 1 second. Let me stop you right there. Let's address that first. And you start doing that to people. The person now gets angry because you're interrupting them. You're not letting them get it all out. So just allow me to take some notes of what you say so that I may respond to you in the best way I can. Okay? Take some notes, wait for the person to finish, and you'll realize that when you give people the chance to vent and to give you everything they've got without interruptions, they will listen to you too, hopefully. They'll give you the chance too. If you let them come out and just give you the whole piece, they might just let you give them the whole piece. You can learn from anybody. You see, you have to be able to listen, and you have to be able to take and learn from others. Don't criticize people's suggestions. Let's talk about number five. That was number four because we did three last week. Amen? One, two, three, four, five. We're on number five. Don't emphasize people's mistakes. Do not emphasize people's mistakes. After reasonable, in verse 17 says that wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. Full of mercy. Who wants mercy? Who needs mercy? We all need mercy. We all want mercy. How many of us know that other people need mercy? How many of us give mercy? Right? It happens. Sometimes we just act that way. It's important that we understand, what is mercy? Not giving you what you deserve. Not giving you what you deserve. Don't give people what you think they deserve. Give people what they need. How about that? Instead of giving people what they deserve, give them what they need. Isn't that what God does with us? That's mercy. Instead of giving us what we deserve, which is eternal condemnation, eternal punishment, God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need. We need grace, which is a free gift, something that we don't deserve. He gives it to us. And it says there that wisdom is full of mercy and good deeds, doing good for others. Making sure that we give them what they need, not what they deserve, is what we need to do. So when people, we need to show grace to people who, you know, fumble, people who fail, people who simply, all of their faults and fails. We got to try not to take those into account. It's important that we take into account the person more than taking account of their actions. Now, of course, some people are going to hurt you. And those actions are going to really, really hurt you. But you have to do what Christ did. Take into account the person as a priority instead of taking into account what people have done to you. Didn't Jesus say that from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus could have said, you bunch of fools, you don't know what you're doing. But instead, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So that's the fifth mark of wisdom in a relationship. Do not emphasize people's mistakes. I want to be wise, then I don't emphasize people's mistakes. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, the Beatitudes. Blessed, 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 blessed. Blessed are the merciful. Why? For they will receive mercy. How many of you want mercy? We all want mercy. We need to give mercy, right? It's a give and take situation. Do we want to be blessed? Yes, of course I want to be blessed, so I should be merciful to others. And think about it. How much mercy have you gotten from God already? How much mercy have you received? You've already been blessed. So don't think that you got to be merciful so that you can be blessed. Yeah, you will be blessed. It's like a promise. You will be blessed if you're merciful to others because you will receive mercy. But you have already received mercy before giving it from God. And think about it that way. Let's think about it this way. Who is the wisest person? God. And who is the most merciful person? God. See that? You want to be wise? Be merciful. You want to be wise like God? Be merciful like God. You think there's a little connection there? Yes, I think it is. Because people that are foolish, they're judgmental. And people who are wise are merciful. Oh, man, I hear this lesson from some of you all the time. All the time. I've got some good people in this congregation that call me up on that all the time. And they go to me, well, Pastor, think about this. And I'm like, oops. I know. I do. And I need that. I need that because I will be very fool. I will not become wise if I'm always not exercising mercy with people. You know, and mercy is a gift from God. As a matter of fact, God is so merciful that your next breath is because of God's mercy. That's how merciful God is. Everything. God cuts me slack all the time. So I need to cut people some slack, you know. That's amazing how we don't want to cut people slack, but we want all the slack from God, right? Well, we wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for mercy anywhere. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we couldn't see, hear, touch, or feel, or exist, or smell, or do anything. Everything that we are, everything that we do, everything that we're able to do is because of God's merciful grace upon us. Because God doesn't give me what I deserve. He gives me what I need. God gives me what I need. Now, if you do not accept from God what you need, then you get what you deserve. You see, because the Bible says that the door to heaven is very narrow. Not many will get there. Most will perish. Because most will not accept the gift. Most will not accept what they need, salvation. Most will not accept what they need, mercy and grace from God. Most will reject that mercy and salvation and grace from God. Therefore, they get what they deserve. You get it? Simple concept, right? But God doesn't want to give you what you deserve. He wants to give you what you need. And wise people give people what they need, not what they deserve. That's mercy. Inside the wisdom of God. That's how we can become wise and have peace in our relationships. Now, I just thought about these, and I thought I'd give them to you. Reasons why people emphasize the mistakes of others. And you could come up with even better reasons than what I came up here. I'm pretty sure you probably have some better reasons. But number one, how about this one? The reason why people emphasize other people's mistakes is because they want to try to control the relationship. They want to have control of the relationship. That's one way to be controlling. You pull out all of their dirty laundry. You keep that file. You keep it on a thumb drive. You keep it on your backup. You keep it everywhere. Everything that they've done wrong to you. And every time you feel like it, boom, you pull a file on them. Huh? Hold on 1 second. Back in May 31st of 2002, you did this. Got them by date. Got them by name, got them, and it doesn't matter. Got them all sorted out in a file, right? You try to control relationships. Always picking at people, always pointing at people's mistakes and their errors. Do you continually bring other people's past up to them? If you do that, then you're just trying to control the relationship. You know, that's one reason. You know, there could be other reasons why you do that. Like I said, even to the smallest and littlest sin that they have committed, even though sin doesn't have, you know, but you know what I'm talking about. You keep a file on them. You keep a file on them. You have them well sorted out. And you use it to get leverage, right? People use that to get leverage in a relationship because they want control. That's not good when you're picking on people's past all the time just to gain leverage. But because I am merciful, let's say, we don't rub it in. We just rub it out, all right? Don't rub it in. Rub it out. Isn't that what God does? God said he will erase it. He'll give you a clean slate. He will not remember. He will cast it out. He will bury it in the bottom of the sea. Well, he will never remember again. How can he do that? Even God forgets. What a great gift is forgetting. I've always said it. I'm a very forgetful person. I've been gifted in forgetting. The problem is, I don't know how to use that gift very well. Because I forget what I shouldn't forget, and I don't forget what I should forget. It's like Paul, you know, I do what I'm not supposed to do, and I don't do what I'm supposed to do. But forgetting is a gift, once again. So forget. Put them behind. Be merciful. Don't keep a file on other people's mistakes. You know, don't be historical. You hear about the kid who came home with a bad grade. He was scared. He got home and his dad looked at his grades and he said, "You see what I'm telling you? You're in the 11th grade now and this is the fourth time you brought an F home." Back in September, he starts going off and pulling out every single file on him since he was in kindergarten. The kid was so ashamed. He was like, "Oh my God, here we go again, the whole litany of things." So the next day he goes, sees his friends in school, and the kids say, "What's your daddy say?" And he said, "Man, my dad got all historical on me." And they're like, "No, you mean hysterical." "No, historical. He pulled out every file in my life. He pulled it right back out. Everything in my history," right? And some people do that. That's foolish. That's not merciful. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, verse 9, "He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." Now, hold on one second. Be careful, because this word could be confusing. Conceal. It's not about covering other people's sin as like, "Oh, so you're being unfaithful to your girlfriend or boyfriend? I won't say anything when we're going out again. I want to meet her. I want to see who you're seeing out there." No, that's not. That's the type of concealing we can think about. But let me give it to you in another translation to bring a little bit more clearness to this. Simply, love forgets mistakes. You see, you don't keep them. People's mistakes, you don't keep them for yourself. And it says, love forgets mistakes. Nagging about them parts the best friends. When you start nagging about people's mistakes, you could part. You bring people apart from you. You just scare people away when you do that kind of stuff. You may think you're in control of the other person, but really and truly, you're actually losing control of yourself. Think about it. You may think you have control of the other person by pulling all their dirty laundry, but really and truly, what you're doing is losing control of yourself. You can think of the person who is closest to you in life, and even though you love them so much, of course, there are some things about that person that simply bug you out. They just bug the heck out of you, right? Think about your wife or husband. There's something about them that you're just like, "I hate it when they blah, blah," right? I know some of you can't think about those things because you're so good. But you know what? Let it go. Don't be a fool. Don't hang on to things. That is foolishness. Think about this. When you start thinking about your loved one, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband, your kids, whoever, that you love so dearly, when you start thinking, "I hate it when my..." You know, there are so many other things to love about that person. Put your mind on those things. Amen? That's what we need to do. See, number two, to try to change the other person. Some people just try to change the other person. Let me tell you something. You cannot change people. You can't even change yourself. So think about that. Simple. See, a pastor was walking out from the service, and he was out in the parking lot. And when he saw one of the employees at church, he did maintenance. His name was Mike, and Mike was out there, and he's an older man. And he kissed his wife goodbye, you know, and she left and left him in the parking lot. He was coming to work, and the pastor came to him and said, "Mike, you know, I've known you for so long and everything." Actually, he went first to the wife before she left, Sally. He went to Sally, and she said, "Sally," and she rolled down the window, and he said to her, "Let me ask you something. I know you guys celebrated 50-year anniversary last week. You know, how do you make it? How do you make it to 50 years like that?" And she said, "Don't try to change him." "I never tried to change him." Wow, great. So he turns around, he goes back to Mike and tells Mike, "Hey, Mike, let me ask you a question. How can you make it through 50 years of marriage and be like that and have it so good?" And he said, "I never tried to change her." And the pastor was so amazed. He's like, "I'm serious. I didn't make this thing up. They just did not try to change each other." Don't try to change other people. It doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. So let me ask you something. Do you jump at people for every fault? Do you try to change people? Because it doesn't work. Number three, to try to hide your own faults. Duh. Some people pull out other people's faults because they want to hide their own, right? Have you heard of people like that? Maybe you know a few people. I'm not saying that you are, but you may know some people like that, right? It's like a game of hide and seek. I'm trying to hide my faults, and I'm seeking to find yours. And life becomes, you'll never win at that game of hide and seek. Seeking always to pull out what they do wrong and always trying to hide what you do wrong. Don't try to be in control of your relationships. Give control to the Holy Spirit. Don't try to change people. Let the Holy Spirit do the changing. Don't disguise your own faults. The Holy Spirit knows them already. And even before you mess up, he knows when you're going to mess up. He knows your faults. So be merciful as God is merciful with you. The people in your life need mercy as much as you do. And last but not least, number six, don't disguise your intentions. Don't do things with an alternate motive, you know. For them, don't disguise your intentions. The Bible says there that wisdom is unwavering without hypocrisy. Now, let's talk about those two words, unwavering and without hypocrisy. Unwavering means impartial. Impartial. Now, you may think of unwavering like something that doesn't swerve around or doesn't, but the actual word in the original Greek means impartial. You treat everybody the same way. You're not a respecter of persons like God. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. We're all treated with the same. We're all just and righteous in our treatment with others, right? Impartial. And the second word is without hypocrisy. Of course, without any blemish, or let's just say sincere or honest, right? Simple as that. Those are very interesting words, and they both in the Greek have, just similar words, unwavering and without hypocrisy to what we know today. But you know that Greeks invented theater, right, long ago, and they wrote comedies, tragedies, Plato, Socrates, and all those guys wrote a bunch of famous plays. And of course, what happened was that an actor would have to play different roles. We know about that around here, don't we? People playing different roles when we're doing the play around here. And what they did is they put on a mask and they said whatever they had to say with that mask on. And, you know, they grabbed the mask and they went out there, they covered their faces, said whatever they had to say. They ran off stage, grabbed another mask and came on stage again and now used the second mask to be another character in the play. And that's what people did, and those were the people that were called, the people that were in that role, they were called hypocrites, right? So really and truly, what we're saying here is that the author is saying, do not wear different masks. Do not be one person and then another person. Do not try to be like that. You know, don't try to play different roles in life. Play your role in life. Being impartial and sincere means being genuine, however you pronounce it. I don't know where you're from. But being real. Be the real deal, you know. Be real. Be genuine. Be authentic. That's the word that we want to use here. So here's the last one. Don't disguise your intentions. If you want to be wise in your relationships, then don't wear a mask. Don't fake it. Don't pretend. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Don't lie to people. Don't cheat them. Don't trick them. Don't fake them. Don't take advantage of them. Don't deliberately mislead other people. Do not do that. The point is that fools are fakes and wise people are authentic. Fools are fake, but wise people are authentic. They're the real deals. They're not phonies, you know what I mean? They're just simply who they're supposed to be always at all times. And there's a couple of places where people fake it nowadays. These are the most prominent places where people fake who they are. Two areas in their lives. Do you know what they are? Online and dating. The art of wearing different masks is just, wow, so well illustrated when you go online or when you're dating. You see, because when you go online and you don't show your true selves. It's amazing how people put stuff in their profiles that it's a lie, whether it's their age or their commitment to others or their education or whatever. And there's a program on MTV called Catfish. You ever seen it? This program is about people who fake identities in life on Facebook or online, whatever. And these guys are on the hunt. They're on the prowl for these people. Because what happens is, you know how these loving relationships start online? And this person falls in love with this other person online, and they have this great relationship. But every time they try to meet, something happens. I can never get to meet them because every time they're making the trip, something happens. Their grandma broke her leg. Their cat just simply fell off a chimney. And, you know, there's an excuse. So the people from Catfish comes up and says, we're going to help you find that person, and we're going to have you meet in person to see who they are. And most of the time, the photo is fake, their profile is fake, and they're the ugliest person you can imagine. And they think they were gorgeous. And they confront them. Or it was a man pretending to be a woman. Oh my God. Or the opposite. This happens online all the time. This happens online all the time. It's so crazy. And dates, of course. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a second. I'm before I go, but Proverbs 10:18 says, he who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. And Psalm chapter 12 and verse 2 says, they speak falsehood to one another. With flattering lips and with a double heart they speak. And that happens in dating, doesn't it? They flatter each other. In dating, you become artificial. You try to look your best, you try to act your best, you try to talk your best, and you dress your best. You smell your best when you're on a date, don't you? You smell your best. You're not real. You're not passing gas or burping when you're on a date. That's you. But you don't do it on a date until a certain point when you really gain trust in each other. Then it's a joke, right? But don't you dare do that in front of, oh my God, I couldn't do that in front of my date. You're a fake, right? You're just so super cool. You're not being real sometimes. You laugh at things that you really don't find funny. He's so funny. Just because you want to pretend. You don't want them to make them feel bad and say, honey, you are not funny. You won't tell them that in the first few days. You tell them that after you get married. Honey, you're not funny. Okay? Just letting you know. Stop. Don't want to hear it. You're not funny. All right? So it happens, right, in relationships. We become inauthentic, you know, in our relationships. You see, how do we know that? For example, I know that you guys don't do this, but at bars, it happens. A total stranger comes up to you and says, hey, beautiful, can I buy you a drink? A total stranger, right? That's how we start relationships, faking and stuff like that. That's what people do. What if you were walking out at Target and a man comes to you and says, hey, pretty lady, can I buy you a toaster? Or you're out there at Walmart and said, hey, how about a box of Captain Crunch? Like some pickles? It's just amazing. That doesn't happen, right? You like some ham hocks, baby? Nah, right? You wouldn't do that. But people try to start relationships in so many crazy ways, right? So being honest, being yourself, that's being wise. I can't disguise who I am, because if I do, I become a fool. So let's review and let's get out of here. Don't compromise your integrity. Don't antagonize other people's angers. Don't minimize other people's feelings. Don't criticize other people's suggestions. Don't emphasize other people's mistakes. Don't disguise your intentions. My dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters, as a pastor who really, really loves you, I tell you, we need to learn some godly wisdom, and it'll make our entire lives and our relationships so much better, so that we don't make the same mistakes over and over in our relationships. We need to learn from God. This is the kind of thing that God wanted us to learn from the beginning. If you're not going to get out of your relationships, you're not going to get out, or you're not going to get anything good. You're not going to get intimacy, satisfaction, or anything like that unless you intend to do the right thing and not do these things that we just discussed. So there are only two places to get wisdom. Where do I get it? I get it not from TV. I get it not online. I don't get it in college. I don't get wisdom from the world, but from the Word. I get wisdom from two places, knowing God and doing His Word. You can get intelligence. You can get the facts. You can get information. You can get smart. You can get technical skills from going to school, but you don't get wisdom from going to school. That's something you get from knowing God and knowing what He says and doing what He says in His book. This book right here, the Bible, is filled with relational wisdom. Everything that's in here is for wisdom so that we may relate to Him and to others. But we're not going to know that unless we know God, until we know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, personally. Psalm 11:10 says, "Fear the Lord," or respect for the Lord, "is the beginning of wisdom." You want wisdom in your relationships? Then seek Him. You got to start with a relationship with Him. In Colossians 2 says, "Jesus is the key that opens all hidden treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge." You have to know Jesus in order to know the treasures of His wisdom. And that's the big question that you need to ask yourself then. Have I met Jesus personally? Have you met Him personally? That's how wisdom starts. Let's pray.